Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing how the Bible is your title deed. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, God, that you've given us, God, so that we can know absolutely without a shadow of a doubt what your will is for our life, God. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you place within us, God, so that we know that we know that we know that we are your children and that we will dwell with you in eternity and that we can call on you and speak with you at any time through our heavenly prayer language. And Father, I thank you for you being our Father, and I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, being our high priest and our big brother, God. Father, I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Every
shifting the atmosphere. Somebody just help me say that. It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time. Worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hand. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting.
Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing how the Bible is our title deed. And the reason why we're going to be discussing this is because if you want to know in the five senses realm what you own and what your rights are, and you want to be able to demonstrate your possession of whatever you think is important, then you have to be able to furnish a proof of ownership. A title shows that you have proof of ownership. It shows that you have you're fully entitled to possession of the property. And a lot of times for us, if we have a title or a deed, it is for something major like a house or a car. And when we look at the title deed that we have to eternal life and to life more abundantly right now, that is entirely and recorded within the scriptures of the Holy Bible. And that is why we want to spend as much time as we possibly can studying God's word so that we can hear the voice of God. But even as important as hearing the voice of God is understanding the promises that God has made to us and being able to walk confidently in our authority because we understand our position as children of God, and we understand our position in terms of our sonship and what Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary on our behalf so that we could stand in this place of privilege, in this place of entitlement. The Word of God is able to build us up. And we are the ones who are charged with the real task of studying the word so that we can rightly divide the word, so that we can not be disappointed in our expectations, but we can expect God to do exactly what he said in his word. And he has issued each and every one of us the challenge of testing him, of proving his word, that he is magnified above his name. So I'd like to start tonight's teaching in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And it speaks of how it says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." And see, this is clearly stating God's purpose and God's will. God's purpose and his will is that he will dwell with his people, and his people will dwell with him, and he will be their God, and he will be with them, with us. And we have to understand that that promise is repeated in the word. That promise is what all of this is all about, is that God has established from the beginning of time that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him in perfect harmony. Those who serve him, please him, trust him, and obey him, those are his people. And God will dwell with them. So look at what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." See, God is saying the word of his grace is able to build us up. And the word of his grace is also able to give us an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, that fancy word sanctified, it simply means set apart for a specific purpose. And the specific purpose that we were set apart for was reconciling the world back to God. We are supposed to be going out and getting all those other people that God has called before the foundations of the world to be his children and bringing them into the body of Christ the same way that someone brought us into the body of Christ when we were enemies of God, right? And it is the word of his grace that's able to build us up. So if it's God's word that builds us up, how excited and deliberate should we be about studying God's word? Why leave that to somebody else when God has a special blessing for you? And even more importantly than building you up, it's able to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, here's the thing. If you don't know what it says in the Word of God because you have not studied the promises in the Word of God, then it's not able to give you an inheritance because you're not making yourself available to the Word. So if you study God's Word, then you'll see the promises that you are absolutely entitled to. That is going to change things in your life. That is going to make you more deliberate about what you're doing for God, because we're not just going to be playing church and going along to get along and singing the right songs at the right time in the right place with the right people. That's not what God has called us to do. So look at what it says here in Acts 26, 17 to 18. It says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people. And this is Jesus Christ speaking, Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he's sending him out. He says, as well as from the Gentiles, he said, I'll deliver you from them as well, to whom I now send you. That's us. We're the Gentiles. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, right? So this is Jesus Christ himself speaking to the Apostle Paul, and he's telling him, look, don't be afraid of your assignment. I'm going to deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles that I'm sending you to minister good news to this gospel. And I'm also sending you there to the Gentiles to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, in order to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they can receive forgiveness of sins. So we Gentiles can receive forgiveness of sins was why the Apostle Paul was sent out to speak the truth that we now are reading here, right? And not only that, not only that we can receive forgiveness of sins, but also that we may receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And what this is showing you is that your inheritance is important to God. What God paid for with the death, burial, and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ was for our forgiveness of sins and for us to live life more than abundantly now and in eternity. So we can barely comprehend what that means. But that's why we have to study the Word, so that we can understand what this great inheritance that we have from him. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So what is it saying here? What it's saying is that the Holy Spirit within us is bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Son of God, and he inherited all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. He received that when he was raised from the dead, and we are joint heirs with him, and we share in that power as we are walking by the Spirit. And when he returns, we're going to be like him. We're going to become like him. And then it says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. And see, that's the thing that people miss. We don't get beyond our own selfish desires, our own selfish need for comfort and affirmation and appreciation and all this stuff. If we don't get past that and understand that we are going to suffer just as Christ suffered, that people are going to reject us because of the stand that we take for Jesus Christ as our Master and God as our Heavenly Father in us, loving our Heavenly Father with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we suffer for Christ so that we may also be glorified together with Christ when he comes into his kingdom as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look what it says in Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. It says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. See, this is speaking again of our inheritance, but we don't know anything about that unless we read what it's saying, right? Look at what it's saying. In him also, in Jesus Christ, we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now look at this. Throughout life, people are always looking for guarantees and warranties and insurances, assurances. And in the world, there really are none. But here, we have a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And that guarantee is the Holy Spirit that's within us. The Holy Spirit within us is what allows us to know that we are saved. This isn't a lottery ticket for a chance to possibly go to heaven if we do everything perfectly. No, that's not what this is. The Holy Spirit within us is a seal. It is a promise, and when we are walking by the Holy Spirit and we're speaking in tongues to God in our heavenly prayer language, we know that we know that we know that we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. The question is, are all of our rewards going to be intact or not based on whether we do what God is asking us to do the way that God is asking us to do it? And that's where our knowledge of the word and our obedience to God and his word lie, in our passion to see this inheritance fulfilled and to understand that it is something that we obtained through Jesus Christ, and we were predestined according to the purpose of the will of God. And so we have to understand that this is something that is happening. And it's as important to God as it should be to us. But some people believe it's good enough just to get into heaven themselves. And that is not thinking like God, right? So now we want to talk about our rights and our responsibilities and our privileges as children of God. Look at what it says in Galatians 3, 26 to 29. It speaks of us being sons and heirs. It says, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, this is important to understand. And look at what it says. It says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, this idea of heirship, this idea of our inheritance is something that is germane to this whole notion of us being sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we understand that when we were baptized into Christ, we no longer are Jewish or Gentile or slave or free or male or female. We are sons of God. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And we are all Abraham's seed if we're Christ.
See, that's what it says. That's what it means. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 3:1-7. Speaks of the mystery being revealed. And this is important because God withheld this knowledge from the entire world, from everyone, until the appointed time, until it was shared here. Look at what it says in Ephesians 3:1-7 that speaks of the mystery being revealed. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation, the pouring out of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs." See, once again, that word heirs. "The Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power." And see, this was a mystery. See, it had always been known that the children of Israel were the children of God, but it was not always known that the Jews and the Gentiles would be one body in Christ Jesus. The mystery. And that is a powerful thing because it says, had the powers, the rulers of darkness known that, they never would have crucified Jesus Christ. That's how important that particular item is. Look at what it says here in John 14:2-3. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Jesus Christ is speaking and he's saying, in my Father's house are many mansions, many places, many dwelling places. And it says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus Christ has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. And it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So we are awaiting the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is our hope. We are looking for Jesus Christ to return at any moment. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what we're looking forward to. That is our hope. That is our inheritance, right? Think about what it's like on earth now for people to be homeless, right? Just imagine what it's going to be like in eternity for those who are not in the kingdom of God, who do not have a place prepared for them, right? They're going to be eternally homeless. That's an unthinkable state. I don't care how you lived your life here on earth. If you were in the mansions and you had most or all of the money, if you have to spend eternity in outside of the mansions that Christ has prepared for the children of God, that's got to be miserable because, you know, this is only 70 to 120 years max here on earth for us. But eternity is forever, and that's going to be sad. Those are eternally homeless people. So our inheritance is we literally have a place in eternity that Jesus Christ is preparing for us now. Look at what it says here in Hebrews 11:16. Actually, it's a few more verses in Hebrews 11, but it speaks about our heavenly hope. It says, "These all have died in faith." It's speaking of the heroes of faith, Abraham and Sarah, et cetera. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, speaking of Israel, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And see, this is saying that those who were the champions of faith, they received the promises without having seen them. They accepted God's word at face value, and they embraced them and confessed that they were just strangers and pilgrims on earth, just as we are. There's a song that says, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." And that has to be our mindset. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And we have to understand that our treasures are not here on earth. All of this stuff on earth that we see is going to perish. It's going to burn up. It's going to be gone, right? But in eternity, the place that Christ is going to prepare for us is forever. Look at what it says here in Matthew 25:31-36. It says, "The Son of Man will judge the nations. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, the sheep, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" I'm going to stop there for a minute because I want you to hear that Jesus Christ is saying to the sheep on his right hand, "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." See, God has been preparing and planning this kingdom for us from the foundation of the world. And then Jesus Christ says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And see, this is speaking of how when we are feeding the hungry and giving drink to those who are thirsty and taking in strangers and clothing the naked and visiting the sick and seeing about those in prison, we are doing the work of the Lord. We are showing God's hand in the earth by ministering to those who are in need, who are in discomfort, who are in bondage. And that's what makes us sheep. See, goats say, "I can do this on my own. I don't need this. I don't need anybody but myself." And they get lifted up in pride, and it's a lot of huffing and puffing, but in the end, it's going to be a whole lot of nothing. And for eternity, homelessness in the abyss of the lake of fire. Who wants that? Who would sign up for that? That's a bad deal. 70 to 120 years of everything versus an eternity of nothing. It's a bad deal. Sign me up to make Jesus Christ my master and God, my heavenly Father, today, right? And then give me the book so that I can read all of the things that God has promised me if I participate with him actively in making the kingdom come to fruition. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:18-22. It says, "But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. See, the Holy Spirit within our hearts is a guarantee of the purchase possession. See, the price has already been paid. We are simply going to receive it when Christ returns at the appointed time. And so we have to understand that the Bible is our written deed. It's our guarantee. It's interesting. When I'm designing homes for people and other businesses and churches, one of the first things we have to do is we have to look at the site. We have to look at the title, the deed to the property, to see where the bounds of the property are, the boundaries of the property. And a lot of times, those boundaries are marked by iron rods that are pounded into the earth so that they'll never be moved, and you can always find them. And that's how we determine who owns what, right? Well, so it is with the Word of God. The Word of God, the boundaries do not move. The Word of God is exactly what God said it is. The Word of God is recorded in the stars, and after it was recorded in the stars, it was recorded on stone tablets with Moses, then it was recorded on scrolls, and then it was printed in the form that we have with printed press and printing press, and now we have it on the internet. And we have no excuse. We have access to every translation available to mankind. And so whatever you're comfortable with, study God's word. Get into the title deed of your inheritance and think of it in terms of an inheritance. It is a privilege that you have because you made Jesus Christ your master and God Almighty, your heavenly Father. Look what it says here in 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. It speaks of our heavenly inheritance. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the word of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." See, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our master. That word Lord, that means master. Whenever you read that, you can replace that with master. So blessed be the God and Father of our master Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, our abundant mercy and our living hope comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, from the dead. And when he arose from the dead, we received an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith. That faith in Jesus Christ keeps us by the power of God, not our own power, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So God is going to reveal all that we're talking about, all that we're reading in the last time. And it's not even going to be a question. The question is going to be, did we study God's word so that we knew it was coming? And then when it came, we were looking forward to it, and then we walked into our inheritance? Or is it going to be a surprise because we're absolutely oblivious and didn't have any of the benefits here now, and we didn't win anybody else to the kingdom because we were just thinking about ourselves, right? Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Who love him? See, what this is saying is you have not even imagined all of the great things that God has prepared for us, and eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. So man has not even imagined what God has prepared for us who love him. And so God is telling us the first and great commandment is to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because he has something for you that you can't even fathom how great it is. You just have to believe. And one thing that helps you believe is when you read this, and it tells you that God is excited about preparing something beyond your wildest dream of how awesome it is, how great it is. You just have to trust him. You have to serve him. You have to please him. You have to obey him, right? And how much easier is it when you understand that God is equally as excited about pleasing you as you are about pleasing him? God is thrilled about being able to bless you because his plan is coming to fruition, that he will dwell with you and you will dwell with him in eternity, forever, present of the devil or sickness or disease or the Antichrist or the beast or the unbelievers who follow him. All that, death, sickness, disease, done. Nowhere in the picture, just us and God. Look at what it says in 2 Peter 1:2-4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which had been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, it is knowledge of God. The knowledge of God multiplies grace and peace in our life. And the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ multiplies grace and peace in our life. And it is his divine power that's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in the Word of God. And it says, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. See, we study God's word, the title deed to our inheritance, because within God's word are these great and precious promises, exceedingly great, precious promises that have been given to us. They're ours. But we have to speak them out. We have to know what they are so that we understand what God is doing for us now and preparing for us in eternity, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, lust is what we have escaped. Lust causes you to turn away from God in order to satisfy yourself and turn toward the world. But if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are turning to God intentionally, and we are rejecting the corruption that's in the world through lust. And that is something that God enables us to do. God helps us to do. It is not always easy. I understand, and I know. I am human just like you. But when I get into these promises and I get into the word, the title deed of my inheritance, and I think about the idea of being in eternity with rewards versus being in eternity without rewards, being in eternity having won souls for the kingdom, that is my passion. That is something that makes me look forward to the return of Christ. I'm not worried about am I getting to heaven or not? No, that shouldn't even be a question. That's not a question. Not if you believe. And so if you study God's word, then the word will do that in you and strengthening you and building you up, as we said at the beginning. God's grace is able to build you up. The word of God's grace is able to build you up so that you can open your eyes, turn from darkness to light. You can turn from the power of Satan to the power of God. so that we can receive forgiveness of sins, so that we can receive our inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. And that faith is through Christ. Look at what it says in Colossians 3:23-24. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." See, our inheritance is our reward. And we receive that reward by serving Christ. And we know that it's from him that we'll receive the reward. And so we do all things heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So I'm not a man pleased. I'm here to please God by submitting to the authority of his son as my master. And that's what I'm about the business of doing. Otherwise, I would be volunteering to be a slave to try to make people happy, which you will never do. That is not going to happen. And I'm not here to serve money because you'll never have enough. That is not something that God has called us to do. He said, serve me, not money. Please me, not people. Trust me, not your own wisdom, your own understanding. And he said, operate out of my unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, not your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. God has given us the answer. We just have to make ourselves available and just read for ourselves. I really don't want you listening to what I tell you to do, because that's not going to help you. Why I try as much as possible to share more word with you than Lester Carver's opinion and what I think and what I feel and what I've been going through, that's not going to help you. Only the Word of God is going to cleanse you. Only the Word of God is going to strengthen you. Only the Word of God is going to deliver you. It delivers me just like it strengthens me, just like it cleanses me, right? Look at what it says in Psalm 37:34. And this really is the last verse that I have for tonight. And what it says here is, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. And see, this is what he's saying. He's saying, wait on God. Keep his way. And what enables us to do that is by studying his word so that we know what God's way is. And we wait on him expectantly, right? And it says, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. See, our inheritance is something that is on the mind of God. And then it says, when the wicked are cut off, see, God is going to get great glory in that day when all of those who serve the devil and the Antichrist and the beast are cast into the lake of fire. Unbelievers are people who intentionally reject Jesus Christ as their master, and God is their heavenly father. And if those who set themselves against God, and then those who just rejected Jesus Christ, period, when they all meet their end, we're going to see that. And then we're going to see the devil meet his end. And it says, we're going to say, is this the one that made the nations of the world quake? Is this the one? And we're going to be looking down on him as he is meeting his end. But that's after a lot of other things have happened. So I just want to encourage you, study, read your title deed of ownership, possession, and entitlement to all the rights and responsibilities and privileges of a child of God and a co-heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone out, God. I thank you for you having blessed someone tonight with something that they needed to hear. God, I thank you for you just encouraging people to come near and near to you by studying your word and hearing your voice and learning to hear your voice more clear than ever. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, Tuesday night teaching, be ye transformed.
Well, I'll tell you a story now. About a man. Called Shouting John. John joined a dead church. They didn't believe in dancing. They didn't believe in speaking in other tongues. But all of a sudden, they opened the doors of that old dead church. John joined that old dead church. When John joined that old dead church, he came in. Dancing all around the church. They tried to hold his legs, his hands were gone. When they turned the hands loose, the feet were going. It's just a like fire. It's just a like fire. It's just a like fire. Shut up in my bones. They did everything they could to stop old John. When they could not stop him, they made up in their mind, we gotta go out to John's house, y'all. But doesn't he know we don't act like that in our church? Doesn't John know we got dignified people and they're in our church? We're going. We're going to John's house. Well, when they got out there, come. They found this 90-year-old man, him and an old beat-up mule. Plowing. Thank you. Did you see all of that land that you all just drove in on? He said, God gave me all of that land. You don't want to let me praise the Lord in your church. Father, I want you to bend over and look. Come on, bend down. Go. He said, I'm still able to harvest my own crop. Stay right there. I'm still able to walk down the avenue of you. He said, not only that, but look at him. Look. Look. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chickens, turkeys, rabbits. You name it. God gave me. He healed me. When I was put outdoors, he put a roof over my head. Have you got anything to praise him for tonight? John says, since I can't shout in your church, I've got something I want you to do for me.
Praise the Lord while I have